There's plenty. There's lots of good stuff down there today. So stop in and have some fellowship. Well, I never would have thought, like earlier in the week, that I would be sharing the word on Sunday because I had a battle, and I've been battling this physical thing for a couple of years, and I had just a really not so pleasant week physically, but God is faithful. Showed me the power of prayer, and as I was struggling with it, one day the Lord just whispered to me, and he said, "This is a momentary light affliction." I'm like, "A momentary light affliction? Wow, let me think about that for a while. It doesn't feel too momentary," and it didn't feel very light, because what happened to me is, the thing is, an autoimmune disease, my face became bright red from my forehead down to my cheeks. It wasn't only bright red like a sunburn, it was hot, and it was fiery. It was like I had to put ice packs on it. I just couldn't get the fire out of my face, and it's never happened to me before, and I pray it never happens again. But my mess became a message, you know. I was a mess. I had a fever, I had ached, I just was all a mess. But God did it. God did that. And thanks be to God, I'm standing here today, and I'm healed, and I'm feeling better. And God gave me some things, he showed me some things out of it that are beneficial, I guess not only to me, because he kept saying it to me from Thursday on, he kept saying over and over again, momentary light afflictions. And sometimes we think that we have all these horrible things going on in our life and we're never going to get past them and nothing's ever going to happen and woe is me. And yes, we do have hard times, and gets my perspective right away if I read a news feed that Christians in Nigeria are being decapitated. I'm like, okay, my momentary light affliction really is a light affliction. And God says that theirs is too, in light of eternity. I don't want to have to go through that, except if God ever did that with us. I know he'd give us the grace to go through to martyrdom, if that's what he ever called us to. So I'm going to mostly share out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to pretty much park there with just a few scriptures added. And so I'm going to read that and in between make some comments. And it's not going to be a long message, but I felt like this is what the Lord wanted me to share. He kept showing it to me. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in Corinthians, Paul is bringing correction to the church at Corinth. So a lot of what he's talking about is his ministry to them. But you know, there's always something in God's word for us. He might be addressing an audience, but there's something in there for us, because the word is live. It's alive, and it gives us life. So Paul says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart or faint. But we," and they're talking of their ministry, "we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. If we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And now here's where it starts to really address us. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." This treasure is his presence, his light, his strength, his source, everything. And you know, I looked up earthen vessels. There was a note and it said, earthen vessels, it says, made of brittle shells. You know, our bodies are not iron. I guess you know that if you've suffered anything. But just made of brittle shells, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. And we are afflicted in every way. And that word afflicted, for people who have the same Bible as me, I know there's a few people that read the very same one, There's a section in my Bible called Word Wealth, and it will take a word and it will just give you all kinds of information. So we are afflicted, and that word is the same as the word for tribulation, and it describes that as pressure. So think something happened to you this week that you were afflicted in any way. Pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Imagine placing your hand on a sack of loose items and just compressing them. And that's what this word means. It's like putting really bench pressing. And it's used for crushing olives and crushing grapes as well. That's the word affliction. And so we are afflicted. And so Paul tells the people what's been happening to him. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. And this is one of my husband's favorite scriptures. Somehow he always comes back to, we are perplexed, but we are not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of Jesus, the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to Jesus' sake, so the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. And you know the dangers they felt, they faced. I mean, he was shipwrecked, put in prison, beaten up, you know, all kinds of things happened to him. So, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. And then these last few verses are key too. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. An eternal weight of glory. One of the commentaries said it's gloriously heavy. The weight of God, a glorious heavy weight. And these things that have struck us, you know, whether we've had loss, I know several people just in this very room have lost spouses this year. There's three of you in this room that have lost your spouse. That is a heavy affliction in this life. But God says that's still a momentary light affliction. And I just pray his grace to sustain each of you, but that we'll go in exchange for that, one day you'll have a glorious heavy weight of him, his presence on your life, far beyond comparison to anything else. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So these momentary light afflictions. And I thought of a couple of other scriptures. James 1, 2 to 4, it tells us something that we might not make sense to us, because it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It's kind of hard to think it's a joy when you're going through sorrow, to count it a joy when you're not feeling well. But I think God is saying in here that when we put our focus back on him, he knows our pain, he feels our pain, he's compassionate and brings a touch there. But he wants our focus to get back on him. Because no matter what's going on in his life, what does it say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't have that verse written down. And then in 1 Peter 4, 12, it says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. And I identified with the fiery part of that verse this week, because that's what was happening to me. That we sometimes come as a Christian and we just think that our life is going to be just total ease and we're not going to have any struggles. But God didn't promise that, did he? He didn't promise that. He came to be our strength. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In 1 Peter, he's telling us not to be surprised. It wasn't, you know, my ordeal wasn't a lot of fun. And then I thought about Pastor Al's message last week on praising him, and God actually got me when I wasn't feeling well in a point where I was praising him. Praising him, I said, you are worthy of praise, Lord. You are worthy of praise. I'm just going to start praising you. I'm going to put my focus on you, Lord. I'm not going to think about what's going on in my life. And as I said, verse 7, and back to the chapter 4, again, we have this treasure in our earthen vessels. And you know what? Something about shells. What about shells that you bring home from the beach? They're empty on the inside. They don't have anything in them. I had to think about that for a moment. One day, our earthly shells will be empty because our spirit will leave and we'll go to be with Jesus, and that will be a glorious day. And he reminded me of just a story. When I was first saved, how, you know, it says our body is decaying, but when I was a young newly saved woman, I went to healing services just to see, what is this all about? I wasn't brought up in that kind of an environment. And they would call out things. People with diabetes, raise your hand. If you have a headache, raise your hand. If you got this, raise your hand. If you got cancer, raise your hand. There was nothing wrong with my body. I could praise the Lord, but one day I went to a meeting, and I had been a runner when I was in my 20s. Both my husband and I used to run. You could see these two toothpicks if you saw a picture of us at that time in our life, because that's what we looked like, two little toothpicks. And we ran, but I had injured a knee. And so in the Worcester Auditorium, Vicki Jameson was, I was up in the balcony and sitting in this tiny seat, and my knee started to really hurt. And she kept saying, someone up there, and it's your left knee, and God's healing it. And I'm not paying attention to it. I'm like, it's not me. Someone up there, she said it like three times before I realized that my knee didn't hurt. So God taught me about that. You know, now my body is older and it needs more repairs. You know, like my doctor said, you know, when you get older, you just have to go in for more checkups. They need to, you got to be fine-tuned more and more. But when I was younger, I didn't have anything except that knee. But God's faithful and he healed it. And, you know, I don't want to put up with sickness as I get older. I don't want to put it up. And I like what you said the other day, Ivan, when you were praying for the people who are sick in the church, and he said, those sicknesses need to go back on the cross. That's where they belong, because Jesus paid for them. So if you got a sickness, you got to send it back to the church. Sandy's been battling all week. The enemy's been trying to rob her of her healing, and he's not going to win. He is not going to win. She's fighting that, you know. She's fighting back. And we need to keep her in prayer. And the apostles were living in very dangerous times, in fear of death. And any time, someone could have come and killed them. And many of the apostles were martyred. And those things where it says persecuted, pressed down, those are wrestling terms, according to one commentary. They wrestled every day of their life, walking with the Lord, because they wanted to share the light of the gospel of Christ. They wanted to please the Lord. And so what do we do if we find ourselves in momentary light afflictions? I bet every one of you could identify something that you could call a momentary light affliction, or you might think it's a momentary heavy affliction. Well, from verse 1, we don't lose heart or faint. And, you know, it says, since we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. We do not faint. And I'd say for us, because we know Jesus, we don't need to faint. We just need to call on him. And there's some new covenant promises. Our sufficiency is found in him, not based on our own works. I can't make myself better. I can use wisdom in what I eat and what I do, but I can't make myself better. I can't make myself stronger. I can't make myself anything. My sufficiency is totally in him. And I'm thankful that, You know, we don't operate by the letter of the law. You know, in the Old Testament, you know, people were smitten. God doesn't give us disease. He doesn't put sickness on us. The Spirit gives us life. He gives us life. He doesn't give us sickness. And in the previous chapter, which I'm not going to go into, the contrast the glory of Moses. The glory of Moses was something that the people couldn't even stand to see it. He had to hide his face from them. But the Lord says in the New Covenant, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It's like his light comes. We are transformed from glory to glory. Did I give you 2 Corinthians 3:18? Okay. But we all, see, Moses had a veiled face, but we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. You know, these things that we go through increase his glory in us. And that's another lesson. That's a study I want to do. I want to study the glory of God on us. Because it says on us and it's in us. And that's something I've been wanting to study, but I haven't gone there yet, but I am going to go there. So what other thing can we do if we find ourselves in momentary light afflictions? We can renounce and repent where we need to. And in verse 2 it says, you know, hidden shame. You know, maybe we're holding on to things that God's forgiven us for. Maybe we're not letting him heal our hearts or touch our hearts. And it says, don't be crafty, dishonest, deceptive, evil. Things that we know as Christians that we should not be. Be careful in honoring the word of God and rightly dividing it. And living an honorable life that people can recognize Jesus in us. There was an old Bible teacher many years ago and said if you were arrested for being a Christian, would be enough evidence to convict you. And that's the sobering thought sometimes. So it'd be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian. And none of us is perfect, and none of us is ever going to be perfect in this life, but that we try to do our best and realize that we live in an earthen vessel. Like I said, I can't do it in my own strength. And that these afflictions are working something in us. Verse 15 says, for all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Grace, you know, they're working something in us. God did some things through the time that I was not feeling well. God did some things, and as I was getting better, and really there were some precious things that, I'm not going to share the details because they're just too personal, but the Lord just, it's like he just took me up, like up in his shoulder, and he started talking to me about some things that were troubling me and kind of gave me answers. It was just very precious, you know? And there was this, I felt his touch, and it was awesome, you know? And Adam Clark, in his commentary, he gives a description of afflictions. And it says, afflictions may be a means of preparing us for glory if during them we receive the grace to save the soul. The afflictions themselves have no spiritual or saving tendency, just if we will receive the grace in them. They can prepare us for glory, but someone with an unrenewed mind may take those afflictions and turn against God. God does not want that. So we need to be transformed in the renewing of our mind. And the fourth thing that we need to understand is that we need to keep our focus in the right places. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things seen, Hebrews 11:6. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have to keep our eyes on the goodness of God. We have to keep our eyes on him. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we've been saying that quite a lot this lately. We walk by faith and not by sight. We may not see it right away, but we have to hold on. We have to keep going, keeping our eyes on him, keeping our focus on him, and keep our focus on the fact, I'm going to read 16 and 17 over again in the chapter, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That includes the hope of the resurrection and the hope of eternal life. Everything we go through in this life is just preparing us to go and meet Jesus. It's preparing us. And if I know that God is, when I have faith in God, it's because I know he's trustworthy. I've learned through the years to trust him. He's trustworthy. He's promised the resurrection, so don't need to fear when he does take me home. And I have that hope of eternally living with him. And so that gives me peace. So I'd say to you today, what is pressing on you today? Are you perplexed about something? He would say, don't despair. Are you being persecuted? He will never leave you. Have you been struck down? Are you depressed, have heartache, loneliness, dealing with grief, seeming like your needs are going unmet? God says in verse 9, we are not destroyed. Persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. We can do the, take time to go over some of these things that I share. Don't lose heart. Renounce or repent anywhere in your life where that's needed. Realize we are earthen vessels. We can't do it ourselves. And understand that the afflictions are working something in us, and keep our focus on God. And the thing that got me out of feeling awful was starting to praise him. And that message from Pastor Al, if you haven't listened to it, please do, because there is great power in praise. It takes the focus off of us. It puts it on him. And just like Jehoshaphat went around the wall, they went around the wall and prayed, and then they went around the wall and they shouted. And what happened when they shouted? The walls came down. The walls came down. And maybe you have something today that you need to bring to him, some momentary light affliction that you need to leave with him today. And that's my challenge. I don't know how you want to end this, but that's really all that I have here. There were a couple of songs that the Lord, when I woke up this morning, I was singing, Love Came Down and Rescued Me. Love Came Down and Set Me Free. We should play that on the CD. And the other song, I don't know if you know that song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, You Shine. But I think we need to end with praising him. And we can do it with the phone, or if you guys, you want to do something, that would be awesome. Some real strong praise that we just come and gather and just give him your momentary light afflictions and let him touch you this morning. He's faithful. He'll do it. He's good.
Yes, Lord. I'm not sure exactly why, but the Lord was drawing my attention and my remembrance, not to the birth of one of my children, but to the birth of both.